Well, we're back again in Luke and other passages, but we remember what happened in Jerusalem that last week. And we'll probably be on things that happen after the cross for the next couple of weeks. Very important to know what the cross was all about. It was about redemption. It was about Jesus rising from the dead. And because of that, we have freedom. And we're saying a lot about the freedom of America today. And that is a blessing that we have, a great blessing. And I thank God often about the fact that we are in this country and we still have freedom. And that freedom needs to be honored. It's not freedom to do anything that you want. It's freedom to do what's right. And there's a difference. The difference is so important. And people don't understand what that freedom is. That today, people think it's freedom to do whatever they think they want to. And that's a lie. It comes from the pit of hell. Freedom is to do what is right and to stand for righteousness. Righteousness doesn't get us into heaven except for Christ's righteousness. Only his righteousness gets us into heaven. So we're looking at the cross again. Remember what the foundations are. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have to understand it is all about Jesus. People have said, and I think you've seen some videos that people said, hey, Jesus never said he was God. Yes, he did. You just don't know scripture. And you better read your Bible if you want to know that truth. And I can still remember a situation. I was at the home. We were invited guests at a home, and the husband of the family, I don't remember exactly who or when or where, but I remember the situation. We were out standing together in the garage outside the house and getting ready for the dinner. And he said to me, you know, Jesus never said he was God. And I said, oh, what about John when he said that? Surprised the man. I hope he began to understand. His wife was a believer. He was not one yet. And so I hope that he opened up the understanding of who Jesus really was. So anyway, that's the foundation. You remember Peter before the Sanhedrin said, he's our cornerstone. Salvation is in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name. And you find that all throughout Acts. Peter, the apostles, Paul, and all the others. I get a kick out of so many of the other things. We forget the documentation that Luke has given in Acts. He's the author of Acts also. And I come across all the time, he says, we. In other words, the we passages show that Luke was right there with him. I wonder if he was Paul's personal doctor. Could have been, huh? Maybe better than a lot of the doctors nowadays. But anyway, we. And he was there with the shipwrecks, and he was there in the trials that Paul went through and all the other things. So I remember under Pilate his verdict. In Luke 23:13-16, Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with the people, and he announced his verdict. you brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. I will have him flogged, and then I will release him. What a tremendous response by Pilate, the leading Roman in Jerusalem. And that's what he said. Pilate argued with them again because he wanted to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he demanded, "Why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. So I will have him flogged, and I will release him again." That was a continuous plea. Now let's look at the cross again. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. We talk about that quite often, such an important understanding that we need to continue with. Jesus said this, though, remember on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." That was one of his seven last words on the cross, forgiveness. The soldiers were gathered around, remember, in 23:34b and following. The soldiers gambled for the clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself. If he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourselves." And if you read Psalm 22, you will see that the psalm prophesied that this was exactly what was going to happen. So many years, 1,000 years before it happened. How could that be? How did the psalmist know that? How did David know that? But a sign was hastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." Pilate, I think, was kind of winking at the Jewish leaders at that particular time and was saying, "Hey, you got what you wanted, but I've got the last word here, and I'm going to say it. This is the King of the Jews." When Pilate posted the sign on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," this was in John 23, the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, Greek, and so many people could read it. Then the leading priest objected and said to Pilate, "Change it from the King of the Jews to the He said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate replied, "What I have written, I have written." I can imagine Pilate's thoughts about that. These people are killing an innocent man at my request. It's happening. But they've conned me into it. So I'm going to get the last word in, the last laugh. He who laughs last has the final say, really. And Jesus certainly did on the cross. But remember the criminals again, back to Luke 23. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too, while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die, we deserve to die for our crimes. But this man hasn't done anything wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus' next words, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's the thing that we need to remember. Today you will be with me in paradise. What a tremendous truth that is. And then in Luke 23:44 on, by this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. We've talked about that. 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness in the middle of the day. Only God can do that. And why was it at this time? Matthew gives more details about it. We're not going to look at it. But Matthew talks about what happened during the 3 hours. That not only was the curtain torn and darkness stood for 3 hours, in the middle of the day, from noon till three, for 3 hours. And even there was an early resurrection, and people were walking around in Jerusalem that had risen from the tombs. I don't understand any of that. Matthew's the only one that recorded it. I don't understand it. But if the scripture said it, I have to believe it. As I said before, they were not zombies. They were resurrected people that the people understood who they were and remembered them. This was the first of the resurrection promise that Jesus was going to do. So remember Jesus' final words in Luke 24:46. Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with these words, he breathed his last. So now we see what happens until Sunday, after the cross, after his death. In Luke 23:47-8, when the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, surely this man is innocent. And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. You can imagine that. You know, one of the things when we have all those hymns about our country, did you feel some sorrow during those different things? Some of us had it particular, but we had others that we remember. We remember those that have passed on from us that were World War II or Vietnam vets. A week ago, we remember Richard. So the Roman officer said, truly, he was innocent. And that was a soldier. I don't know whether he was, he probably wasn't one of those that were gabbling for his garments, because they didn't seem to care. But this man understood the significance of it. Jesus' friends in verse 49 included the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Can you imagine their hearts? Mary was among them. There were at least three Marys there. They were standing watching after the cross. Then following in 50 through 52 of 23, now there was a good and a righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council. But he had not agreed with the decision, the actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. All of a sudden, he was letting his belief known. And he was a righteous man. He couldn't stand it any longer. He had to declare the truth. I didn't agree with your decision. I'm from Judea also. From Jesus' area, close by anyway. From the town of Arimathea. And it wasn't because he was from the same land. It was because he understood who Jesus was. That he was the Messiah. But he couldn't stop the evil from the crowd, could he? But now, he let his colors be known. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it on a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. Now, understand the time frame. The Jewish days began at sundown. We could say 6 o'clock in the evening. That was when the Sabbath started. We don't understand it with our calendars that well, but that was the Jewish calendar and their tradition. The Sabbath began at sundown on Friday and ended at sundown on the next day, Saturday. That was the Sabbath day. So you got to remember the time frame. And they would consider even a part of a day a whole day. And that's why people say 3 days, and you get confused when you read the scripture and say, how can it be 3 days when it seems only was a day and a half or 2 days? That's what the Jewish people figured. Right now is a time in Israel, the same thing. Okay, right now they're celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, and that's what's happening in Israel right now. So anyway, a day of preparation was about to begin. But they took the body and wrapped it and took it away. And we know from other scriptures that the tomb that they was newly carved was actually Joseph's of Arimathea's preparation for burial. It was to be his burial place. In verse 55 and 6, as his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointment to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun. So they rested as required by the law. So we remember the Sabbath at this particular time, and it was honored by them. This is after the cross. This is just the beginning of 40 days after the cross. As we continue through the church history, you know that as Paul indicated and the church indicated in Acts, they continued to worship not only the Sabbath, but they also worshiped what they called the Lord's Day on Sunday. And many of their services were on what they called the Lord's Day, Sunday. And they gathered together, and I especially see this in Acts 2:42, they gathered together for three things: for the apostles' teaching, for fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. And they gathered on Sunday for that. And you remember from John also that not only was Joseph taking his body, but who else was with Joseph at that time?
Nicodemus.
And John tells us about that and his indication of all of this. So anyway, Sunday comes. But very early on Sunday morning, notice this was early, Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. So this is the beginning of Sunday that we're going to talk about more fully next week. Sunday comes, and that was the beginning of a whole new era that we call the New Covenant or the New Testament, and that's what it's all about. So anyway, the story's going to be continued, and we'll continue next week sometime. We're going to sing this song, Mary, Did You Know? Because we were talking about the Marys at the tomb and on the after the cross, Marys went, the mother of Jesus. You could know what she was feeling. Emotions were there. Jesus pointed her out at the cross. Remember, Mary, look at John. This is your son now. And looked at John and said, John, you take care of Mary, my mother. He loved her. She loved them. And they were closely knit. Never think that Jesus just left his family behind when he knew he was God's anointed one, the Messiah. He didn't leave his family behind. He loved them with the best of the family. And that's what it is. We know what family is all about. Mary did too. So I thought this was an appropriate conclusion for this. Father, how we understand that the truth of who you are was perfected on the cross and delivered as a gift to us for all who believe. So thank you. The mercy of the cross goes beyond that day and continues for all eternity. So thank you for being the Messiah, the Lord, the Deliverer, the Redeemer, the Creator, the King. Help us to worship you as the King of all creation. Thank you for that. Walk with us now and help us to honor you with our lives and our behavior. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Shalom.